I don't think we've got any visitors today, but welcome to everybody. It's good to be together. So as we settle down for an hour of praise and worship and teaching, let's settle our souls and reach out to God with a short prayer. So Father God, we thank you for gathering us together this morning, for providing us with this place to meet, and for drawing us into fellowship. We ask that your Spirit would move amongst us to encourage, direct and strengthen us. We've come to fellowship with each other and with you to praise your name, to learn more about you and to seek your guidance for all that we do. May our hearts resonate with yours this morning. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, your precious Son, who gave up everything and died, so that we might be free today and always. May we celebrate that sacrifice in all we do and say and sing this morning. Amen. Amen. So today's format of the service is as usual. We'll have some songs and prayers and readings, and then Alistair will bring his message before we close with a final song. So we invite you to relax and enjoy a time of fellowship and praise this morning. We stay seated for the service, apart from the songs, when we'll invite you to stand if you'd like to, but feel free to sit if you prefer. We'll be having our weekly collection in the third song. Dave's had enough, so he's turning me off already. So we'll be having our weekly collection in the third song. The bags are for our gifts for the work of the church, and the pots are for the separate donations for the children we sponsor. So feel free to let the bags pass by if you're not giving today. And of course, many of us do give directly through the bank anyway. There's no Sunday school, but then there's no children anyway this morning. If there were, there would be a craft table at the back. At the end of the service, there is tea and coffee. It's served in the kitchen. If it's tricky for you to get there, do ask the people around you to maybe bring you onto your seat for you. Now, if you have a mobile phone, keep it handy, because I'll be asking you to find your torch function in a moment. If that means you've got to turn it back on, remember to keep it on silent. We don't want any interesting sounds and squeaks, but I'll be asking you to pick it out in a moment. Now, notices for the week. Weekly activities are a bit different through August. They're listed on the newsletter that we've all received by email. If you're not able to access that and you don't already have a printed sheet, please do see Ian or Alistair today, as Ian's away. So BAP continues this week on Monday, 10 to 12 at Oasis for our older members. Encounters also still happening on Tuesday, 7 till 8 at Oasis. And the Saturday morning prayer is happening at Oasis, 8:30 to 9:15. But TOTS, Ladies Fellowship, Wednesday Study Group and Thursday House Group are not meeting through August. On Thursday, there is an all-age planning meeting, 7:30 by Zoom, for all those who are involved. Do join Dave. Dave loves all-age services, so he'll be there. And Messy Church is next Saturday, 10:30 till 2. At Oasis, and the theme 12 2 yes sorry 12 10:30 till 12, and the theme is let's get ready for summer. Anything you want to say, Susie, about that?
It's gonna be brilliant.
Right, well, there you go. It's gonna be brilliant.
Games and make things, and there's gonna be mess,
right?
Guaranteed. So, you know, if you want to come along, or bring the kids, or bring the grandkids, do please, you know, if you've got friends with kids, or you just want to come yourself, that's great. There will be difficult crafts as well as easy ones.
Ooh. Right. Are there any other notices anybody wants to bring at this point? No, right. So, we're going to join together with the Spirit to blaze the love of the Father over each other and over Sam Batch. So we can do that with the voices, but we can also do it with a bit of tech. So we're not good on tech here, really, are we? But we'll do it with a bit of tech. So if you have your mobile phone, so if you have your mobile phone, if you want to get it out, and yeah, if you, it maybe had the lights on just this one and the back one. So if you get your mobile phone out, if you've got one, and put it on torch function, which for me is sweep down. If I can get my pin in, hold on. Can't even find my own phone. There we go. But if you aim them around, maybe not at each other's faces, but just generally around the building, and then we will stand, if you're able and would like to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Remember to turn your torch off, else you'll have no battery at the end of the service. Now, as I think we all know, we're in the thick of the Nevin season. For anybody who doesn't know, Nevin is a small town, more a village really, on the Llyn Peninsula in North Wales. And for the last 60 plus years, on the same field, on the clifftop, summer camps have been running for young people to have fun and to learn about Jesus at the same time. Now, Howard told us last week in the sharing service a little bit about the history of the camps. But in modern times, there are five camps which happen for 5 weeks, all for different ages, ranging from 9 to 18. And a number of our fellowship have gone along over the years, and indeed this season, for either to be a leader or to be a camper. Chris, George and Joe and Sarah, who I don't think is here, were there last week, and I've just returned, and Howard is there this week, and you might want to bear Howard in your prayers this week. There are gales forecast for tomorrow, and gales and tents don't go too well together, so my arthritis can't take the pace, sadly, so I'm on prayer support, but when there's a gale, I'm quite glad. But Chris and George, I don't know whether you want to say anything about anything that happened at your camp. You can.
Yes.
Well, firstly, we're here. Yeah. Okay. It was a great week. It was a great week. We were blessed with the weather. It was very sort of moderate weather. We only had a bit of rain one morning to, you know, keep the children in. We were down on the beach lot. They were down on the beach lots of times doing all the games on the fields. It was brilliant. The message was from Luke, basically.
From the Christmas story to the resurrection.
Yeah, so we actually, one evening she put up, Merry Christmas, everybody. What's she talking about? Anyway, it was basically because she was talking about Jesus right through his life, from his birth, how he was special and people knew he was special, and all the different people in those times who said he was special, Anna and, come on, help me out, oh, what's his name at the temple?
Simeon,
thank you. Yeah, so you can carry on a bit now.
Yeah, so we had all the Christmas, all the story of Luke, and when we got to the end of the week, Joe invited some of the young people, anybody who wanted to stand up and say something. And there were some of them that stood up and said some great things. And there was one in particular, one girl stood up and she said, when I came, I wasn't a Christian, but I've heard about Jesus' suffering and I've listened to it all, and I am now. And what was her name? No, and I knew all the lads' names. I didn't quite work out all the... I mean, they're wonderful, the 9 to 11-year-olds. I mean, it's the camp is... The days are long, I think... Basically, you lose an hour's sleep every night, so we're 7 hours sleep down now. Yeah, but I mean, the youngsters, they come up to you, and I mean, one of them said, "Were you a semi-professional footballer?" And another one said, "Are you a cook or a toilet cleaner?" So, have you, anyway,
Were you able to bring the pictures up? One of my favourite activities on camp is Hunt the Leader, which is where all the leaders dress up either in outrageous costumes or ordinary costumes and hide along the cliff path. If you leave it on that one for a minute, hide along the cliff path or the beach. And the campers all have to find the leaders and sign a little sheet to say that they found them. I have to say, you have to put your outfit on really quickly, don't you? Suddenly there'll be an answer, right, I'm the leader, and you have to quickly stop what you're doing or put your outfit on and get down to the beach before the campers get down there. So you might recognize a few people on here. This is from George and Chris's camp. So anybody recognize anybody? Sorry, it's very small, isn't it? The one, yes, Chris's knight in shining armor.
St. George.
Oh, Chris, no, I'm not going to say the obvious and get myself into trouble. Chris, where are you on there?
I'm having the yellow hair.
Ah. And I think we've got Sarah as well in the Father Christmas costume. So if you go to the next one, this one I took from this camp, but can you guess who that is? It's not this camp, it's a previous one. It is Howard, yes, yes. And the next one is also clearly Howard. Howard gets, oh no, that's me, that's me. That's me. Next one, I think it's Howard, yes. Howard gets a bit too enthusiastic about this dressing up, I think. He's an Egyptian there. And then I think there's a couple more of, oh no, yeah, that's Howard again. Dimparchio parking cone. Says Dimparchio on the reverse. Oh, that's me as a knight. I was also a knight. And Howard is the bear who's shielding his eyes from the sun. And Susie's on there. Susie Stewart's on there too. This is a very old one. So Susie is next to the, is it Darth Vader with the thing? And then the next one, I think, is the last one. Is there one more? I'm not sure there's anyone on there that we would recognise. I think the gorilla's rather good. Oh, I tell you, we could tell you so many funny stories about Hunt the Leader. That's fine. Thank you very much for making that work. But I felt this, apart from it's nice to get a little bit immersed in Nevin, because many of us are so involved in that. And it is such good work that in the statistics of people coming to know Jesus when they're a young person are huge. So young people are very receptive to hearing about Jesus. So these camps are so important when they really do get immersed in knowing about who he is. But it also resonated with the theme for today, because Alistair will be talking about Jesus the Good Shepherd, searching for the lost sheep. And it occurred to me that sometimes we make ourselves lost for all sorts of reasons. And that might be because we feel hurt or confused or angry, and we shut our ears to God and we cloak ourselves with disguises or mingle with other people to try and escape his gaze. But there's nowhere we can hide from God. He always knows where we are, and he probably has a bit of a chuckle about our attempts to hide from him, but he always knows where we are, and he will always come and rescue us. He will always come and look for us, no matter what messes we've gotten ourselves into or how bad we're feeling. He will always find us. So we're going to celebrate that now as we sing, Behold Our God, who has held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice, all creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne, come let us adore him. So stand if you'd like to, or stay seated if you prefer, it's absolutely fine. Okay, if you'd like to sit down. And we'll have our reading for today, which is John, Gospel of John, chapter 10, and it's verses 7 to 18. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, and that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Oh, thank you for that word, and Alistair will be talking on that shortly. So we'll sing another song, because God will never let go of us, as we've heard. He will seek us out, and he will find us, and he will protect us. He is our rescuer. So we'll sing "He's Our Rescuer," and we'll take the collection at the same time. So the bags are for the work of the church, and the boxes are for the children we sponsor overseas. But feel free to let the bags pass. These are intended for regular visitors, so don't be afraid to let them pass.
If you.
So we'll just say thank you to God for the collection. So we ask, Father, that you would bless the people who have given this money back to you. Thank you that you have given it to us in the first place. Thank you for making us good stewards of the money you have given us. And we ask that we will use it wisely in this church to further your kingdom and to do your work. And we ask your blessing on the young people that we sponsor across the world. We ask that these monies will enable them to have a safe and secure future, a solid future, and a life that is embedded in you. May they come to know you, and may they stay true to you. Amen. Amen. So if you'd like to stay standing, we're going to sing another song, which is Lord, You Have My Heart, and I Will Search for Yours. Sit down, and we will stay in this prayerful state of searching God as we bring our prayers to the Lord. So we'll start with a quiet time of personal reflection. So close your eyes and relax in your seat and give this space and this time over to God. Try to block out other thoughts and listen to his voice speaking into your heart. So, Lord Jesus, we come to you now out of the busyness of our lives. We quieten our minds and we focus on you, and we ask that you will speak into our hearts. So I'll leave a little space here for you to quietly, silently, in your hearts, search that space and seek your God. We offer up to you our joys and our pains, our excitements and our fears. And we praise you, knowing you share in whatever we're going through, whatever we're feeling. And if that's a feeling of bewilderment about things in our lives right now, then we ask, Lord, that you will simply help us to trust you through it. We offer up to you the things we know we didn't get right this week. Things we might have done or said or thought which weren't quite right, and we say sorry. May you help us to do and say and think the right things this coming week. We offer up to you the world around us. Our family, friends, neighbours, our local community, that you may be a beacon of light to those who need direction, a hand of provision for those who need shelter, food, safety, work, a source of clarity to those who are struggling and confused. In all we do this week, Lord, may we seek to lead our neighbours and friends and family to you. We ask your blessing on the Nevin camps, on those who were at A and B camps, that the word that was laid on their hearts would be fed and watered and would grow into strong and living faith. For all those at C camp right now this minute, for strength and resilience and guidance for the leaders, and a new doorway of faith and enrichment for the young people and campers. And we do ask, Lord, that you would protect that camp from the strong winds and the storm that's to come tomorrow. And for all those who will be on D and E camps, which are to come, including Danielle and Teddy from our Energize group, may you surround the campers and leaders with protection and joyful anticipation as they prepare for their weeks. We offer up to you the wider world, and especially the hugely troubled areas of Gaza, Israel, Syria, Ukraine, Russia. May peace and reconciliation and love and healing wash over these areas and over those who seek to intervene and find resolutions. May your truth shine out over these places. And we lift up to you the many refugees across the world, hated in their motherlands and often not welcomed in new lands where they seek refuge. May they find love and safety and peace. And may you guide governments in all countries to find a better way to meet their needs and protect them. As troubles rock the boat in the world and force people to move, may you provide stability and balance. And we particularly think of the group down at the Chimney House and ask that they will find homes and a future. And we ask your best blessing on Sheila, who was with us a few weeks ago. May you direct her path and keep her safe. And we offer up to you the areas of the world where your name is not welcome and where those who worship you do so at a huge risk to their lives. May you strengthen their will, encourage their hearts, protect them from harm and provide for their needs. And finally, for our fellowship here, we ask that you will guide us as a church as we embark on new ventures, purchasing Oasis and seeking a new pastor. We thank you so much for the blessing Alistair has been to us over the last decade and a half. And we ask that you will bless his coming retirement and that you will smooth the house move for the whole family. May everything fall into place and may their new home be a place of peace and joy. We ask your blessing on those of us in the room today and those of us who can't be with us. We are family and together we reach up to you for each other. And for those who are struggling with life and health and family at the moment, we particularly think of Cordelia's mum and dad and the whole family out in Singapore right now. For those awaiting decisions or treatment, Daphne and Helen and Marna and Brian. We think of Harold at the care home in Elworth and for George Bayliss at Cyprus Court Care Home and for Kay as she copes with their roller coaster life. For Nanette and Joe and Anne and Kay and Susie who all spend their lives managing different health issues. And for Sue and for Elizabeth Bailey recovering from recent stays in hospital. And we also lift up to you those whose current life, walk in life, is less difficult. And we thank you for the joys of good life, for the provision of all our needs, and for good times and good friends and good health and happy homes. And we particularly thank you for new life and the safe arrival of a baby grandson, Teddy, to Vera and Brian. And we lift up to you all our family members who have no faith. We all have them. And you know who they are, Lord, and you know our heart's cry for their salvation. And maybe just a tiny little gap, you want to silently lift up some names to the Lord in your head. He knows who they are, and he has them in his sights, but every prayer brings power and strength. So thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you answer them. Thank you that you share with us all in all we do. And we offer you these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who opened the door for us to see through and to experience an eternal life of love and grace. Amen. And we do know that God has heard our prayers and that he will answer them because he is faithful and he is holy and he is God. So let's stand and declare in song that he is holy forever. Father, that you are a holy God, holy forever. And we lift up Alistair to you now as he comes to bring your message. We ask that you will bless him and his future plans, but we particularly ask that you will bless him now as he opens up your word to us. May we be ready to receive it. Amen. So if you'd like to sit down.
Thank you very much indeed to Andrea for leading us in worship. A little while ago, there was an article in Farmers Weekly, and it was all about the most popular names for sheepdogs. So they're names like Jess and Spot, and of course Shep, as in Get Down Shep, if you remember Shep from John Noakes, Blue Peter, back in the 1970s. But here are the top five names for sheepdogs. So number five was Glenn. Number four was Fly. Number three was Ben. Number two was Nell. And apparently the most popular name for sheepdogs in this country is Meg. There we go. And I guess this is how we tend to think about shepherds and sheepdogs. In this country, we think about shepherds as rather romantic figures who spend all their time cuddling little lambs, wandering the hillside with their faithful sheepdog Meg, Nell, Ben, or whoever, and competing in sheepdog trials in county fairs. But that was not the image that a shepherd had in the days of Jesus. Because in the first century, being a shepherd was a difficult, demanding, and dangerous job. And as we continue with our series, looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus, today we are going to look at what Jesus says about being a shepherd. And here are the familiar words of our next I Am saying. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, when anybody like Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," it had messianic significance. So you can imagine what the people were expecting Jesus to say. They were expecting him to say, "I am the good shepherd. I'm going to lead a revolution and will kick the hated Romans out of the country once and for all." But Jesus did not say that, as you can see. Instead, he links the messianic metaphor of the shepherd with his death. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus wasn't like the thieves and the robbers who'd come before him. You may remember we said last time, Jesus probably means the various leaders who emerged during his lifetime. We might call them charismatic warlords, freedom fighters, revolutionary leaders who want to lead a revolution and set Israel free from the imperial yoke of Rome. And many of them called themselves shepherd, Messiah. Not just a shepherd, by the way, but the shepherd. And there are all those promises. Sound a bit like a politician here. Peace and prosperity for everyone. Free from the tyranny of Rome. But of course, their claims to be Messiah and shepherd, sadly, is going to cost the life of many people, isn't it? But Jesus' claim to be Messiah and shepherd is going to give life to many people, though only at the cost of his own life. And there are three things that Jesus emphasizes about his death here in these verses. Here's the first thing. It's going to be a loving death. This is what he says, 12 to 15. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So you can see once again there, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now that word good is a very interesting one. We use the word good in lots of different ways, don't we? So for instance, we might say, my old Vauxhall Vectra is a good car, meaning it's cheap to run, it's reliable or whatever. We might say, my next door neighbour's a good person. Maybe a person of integrity, they're kind, good morals and all those other things. But the word used here for good has with it the idea of attractiveness, of beauty, of nobility. So what John is perhaps suggesting is that one of the reasons people are drawn to Jesus is because of the goodness that shines out of him. They can feel his concern for them. They can sense his compassion for them. And of course, nowhere is this seen more clearly than his willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, of course, as you heard in the reading, there are hired hands. They sort of claim to be shepherds, but they are hired hands. In it for what they can get out of it. More concerned about their well-being than the well-being of the sheep. Willing to work, of course, willing to get paid. Unless, of course, the wolf turns up. In which case, they suddenly remember they need to be somewhere else. And maybe Jesus is referring here to the religious leaders of his day. They'll perform their duties well enough in normal times. But as soon as there are difficulties, no real care, concern, compassion for the sheep. Whatever may be the case, Jesus is not like that. And if you've got any doubt about it, look what he's going to do for you. He is going to lay down his life for you. And you know, the disciples could never get over the fact of the wonder of the love of Jesus for them. You think of some of the New Testament letters of people like Paul and John and Peter. Think of some of the things they said that we just take so much for granted. Paul writes about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can almost hear him saying it, can't you? The Son of God loved me of all people. The Son of God, you know what? He gave himself for me of all people. Look what John says. This is how we know what love is. Lots of people will tell you what love is. Well, this is how we know what it is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Remember the familiar words of Peter. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And they are just overwhelmed, aren't they, that the awesome Son of God, the Messiah, the Good Shepherd, would lay down his life for them. That, of course, is the mark of the good shepherd. This is the goodness, if you like, that shines out of him. He will give his life for us, a loving death. Not only is it a loving death, it's also a planned death. Have a look at these verses, this verse, verse 18. Jesus said, no one takes it, my life, from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Some of you will have heard of the well-known Bible commentator, William Barclay, from quite a long time ago. In one of his commentaries, he tells the story about a young French soldier who was serving in the First World War. And sadly, the soldier had been badly injured, and he ended up having to have his arm amputated. And when he came round after the operation, the surgeon who'd performed the surgery said to the young soldier, "Soldier, I'm sorry, you've lost your arm." And the soldier said, "Sir, I didn't lose it. I gave it for France." And in a sense, Jesus is saying something similar here. Now, of course, he's not saying that he came into the world and was willing to die like a soldier going into battle. He's saying he came into the world knowing that his death was planned, was necessary, was crucial. And nothing ever thwarted that plan. He never saw himself as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, just unlucky. Always in complete control of his own destiny. And nowhere is this seen more clearly than what he says here. He's able to talk about his death as a voluntary act of sacrifice. No one takes his life from him. No one snatches it away from him. So it's not Judas, it's not Caiaphas, it's not the Sanhedrin, it's not Pilate who controlled Jesus' destiny ultimately. It's Jesus himself. His life is not taken. It is deliberately given. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then not only that, thirdly, it's a saving death. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, what do you make of that? Well, some people suggest it means that Jesus died to set the sheep, that's you and me, an example of love. And of course, the death of the shepherd proves he's a loving person. Unlike the hired hand, he's really concerned about the sheep. But of course, when you stop and think about it for a moment or two, saying that the death of the shepherd dies to set the sheep an example of love, doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Let me show you what I mean. Imagine you are Shaun the sheep. That's the only name of a sheep I know. So imagine you're Shaun the sheep. You are roaming, we'll say, somewhere in the Grampian Mountains of Scotland. And the shepherd says to you, "You know what, Shaun? I love you. I love you, Shaun. I love all you other sheep. And to prove it, I'm going to jump off Ben Nevis." Does that make any sense? Well, even if the sheep are a bit more intelligent than they are supposed to be, they're still going to be completely confused and utterly bewildered. Because it's only if the sheep are in danger that the death of the shepherd makes any sense. I mean, think of David in the Old Testament. You know his story. He's a shepherd, isn't he? He talks about the danger of marauding lions, hungry bears. Now, the death of the shepherd in those circumstances, protecting the sheep, makes perfect sense to us. Because the sheep are in danger, which of course is why Jesus has to mention the wolf. You see, there is a wolf coming. And the reason many people don't understand why Jesus had to die for them is they don't realize the danger they're in. The wolf is coming. Sooner or later, sinful men and women like you and I are going to die. And then we'll have to face God in judgment. Jesus knows that's our situation. It is a very perilous situation, isn't it? Have you ever seen a flock of sheep when there's a predator around? Even if it's just a soppy dog that's got itself overexcited, what do the sheep do? They run about in blind, futile panic. And that's our human condition. We know we are doomed to die. The knowledge mocks us. It starts mocking us when we're teenagers, when we first get our heads around the fact that we're not going to live here on earth forever. It mocks us into middle age. It mocks us right up to the end. There is a wolf coming. And in the words of the letter to the Hebrews, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. The wolf is coming. So also, Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. And that's why we need the Good Shepherd. This is why the shepherd dies for us. We need a shepherd who will die on the cross so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be put right with God, so that we can receive the free gifts of salvation and eternal life. And this is what Jesus means when he says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, for you and me. He doesn't come just to set us an example of love. He comes to save us from the wolf. It's a loving death. It's a planned death. It's a saving death. And as we round off, look what Jesus says, 26 to 28. You do not believe because you're not my sheep. I think those are some of the most chilling words anywhere in the New Testament. You can hardly believe what you're hearing Jesus say. He's saying to the people, you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And what Jesus is doing here is what he does in so many other places in the New Testament. He's dividing people into two groups. He does it all the time in the Gospels. So on the one hand, as you can see, there are the people who do not believe in Jesus. Oh, they feel happy. They feel safe. They feel secure. They think they've got a handle on life. Don't feel any danger. Don't sense the wolf prowling around them. Don't feel they need a shepherd to protect them. And they don't believe in Jesus because they're not his sheep. Instead of endless hope, of course, they will have a hopeless end. But there's another group of people who listen to the voice of Jesus. If they're like me, I suspect there was a time when they didn't. Maybe that's your story as well. Maybe you didn't really know what you were here for, didn't really know what life was all about, didn't really know where you were headed. Maybe you didn't really feel that you belonged anywhere. Didn't really feel that you mattered. Didn't really feel loved for who you are. Maybe you were a bit of a cynical person growing up. Cynical about your career, about your relationships, about your life. Of course, you heard and they heard all sorts of other voices clamoring around for your attention. As we've seen in the first century, it's the charismatic warlords, the freedom fighters, revolutionary leaders, peace and prosperity for everyone, if only you'll follow me. In our day, it's the YouTubers, the TikTokers, the influencers, the cults and false religions, the popular philosophies, the self-help books, all saying the same thing. Come and follow me. Trust me. Put your faith in me. Maybe we did for a while. Maybe we dabbled in what they were saying. We thought it might be the answer to follow these compelling voices, but in the end we got disillusioned. And then one day we hear the voice of the shepherd and we realize, you know what, my life is empty. My life is broken. I'm a sinner who needs a savior. And we place our faith and our trust in him, because we want to discover that life in all its fullness he was talking about. And we listen to that voice. We turn away from our sin. We begin to follow him freely and gratefully and joyfully. And at last, we discover that bubbling, fizzing, sparkling life in all its fullness that Jesus has been talking about. And not only that, look what else Jesus says. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So not one of them will be lost. Not one will be rejected. Not one will miss out on heaven. If we wander away, we'll be brought back. If we go weary, we'll be strengthened. If we stumble, if we fall, we'll be helped up. Whatever we experience, whatever we face, whatever we go through, nothing and no one can snatch them out of our hand of the loving Saviour. Wonder if I dare ask you whether you've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. Dare I ask you whether you have, having heard it, you're following him. Dare I ask you whether you've got that endless hope in Jesus. I mean, that's really what Jesus is calling us to. It's a life in the group that hears his voice. There's only two groups. Either you listen and you respond, or you don't. There's no other way. Only two groups. That's what Jesus is calling us to. A life in the group that hears his voice. A life of discipleship that follows him. Safe and secure for all eternity. This is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, seeking and saving the lost, binding up the injured, strengthening the weak. And of course, it's all at the cost of his own life, because this Good Shepherd lays down his life for us. Let's pray together. Father, there are many times when your word seems so straightforward and so crystal clear. Thank you for reminding us very simply this morning in those words of Jesus that there are just two groups, those who listen to his voice and respond and those who don't listen to his voice. Lord, we ask that you would help us to examine our hearts this morning, to know where we are in our relationship with Jesus. And we just want to thank you so much for our Good Shepherd. Thank you for the one who seeks and saves the lost. Thank you that he sought and he saved many of us here this morning. Thank you that he brings back the strays. Thank you that he binds up the injured. And thank you that he strengthens the weak. But most of all, we thank you because every blessing we experience comes because he is the Good Shepherd. And he lays down his life for us. For the sheep. And in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one final song as we close, which I hope gives glory and honour to the one who's not only the Good Shepherd, but who's the Lamb upon the throne. O Most High, King of the ages, great I am, God of wonders. Now to the Lamb upon the throne be blessing, honour, glory and power.
Most High, King of the ages, great I am.
and let's pray together. So now may Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, draw you and all who hear his voice to be one flock within one fold. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us always. Amen.